So hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and we're here today on our fourth session talking about visualization. This is exciting. I've got, one of the sort of the hallmark of what I do as a coach and what you can do as coaches as well is to work with your clients using this powerful visualization technique. And not just a canned approach, but it's something that's really customized for each client, and that allows you to, you know, I think attract higher quality clients and be able to raise your fees and keep clients with you longer because you're doing something special that no one else is doing out there in terms of customizing their experience. So I found that it really is something that has been really powerful in my practice. And what I've the foundation of what I built my coaching practice on. So it's something I want to share with you, not just the what and the why, but all the hows, you know, how to actually do the visualization techniques and what to do if problems come up and what about their reactions, all of that kind of stuff, so that you really get a full understanding. So, I'm glad that you're working with your practice client and doing your some of you sent your visualization pre-assessment, and that's great. So I wanted to, those of you who sent those, I wanted to use that today. You know, Christo sent his, and TJ, I can use yours as an example of how to do a visualization for your clients. And then if you can also make a second appointment with your practice client this week for sometime after today, when you actually do the visualization with them, you can record it. That would be the best, using Audacity or whatever software you might have. Or if for some reason you don't have it set up, you can just go ahead and do a visualization anyway with them, just to practice it, and then, you know, work on getting the recording software set up so you can also record it too. That's really a great way to do it, and that's what can then you can start building up a file of these visualizations, and that really makes a huge difference with your clients. They really appreciate that, being able to record it. So, to get the Audacity, you just go to soundforge.audacity.net, or the other way around, audacity.soundforge.net, and just I emailed you some instructions how to use Audacity, so hopefully that's helpful as well. And then you can go through the tutorials there, and any high school kids that you know, they're great with this stuff. They really understand technology. Or anyone under 30, you can ask too to help you. And I'll try to get more information to you this week too, maybe more training materials on that. So another announcement I want to make real quick is an opportunity to where you can partner with me and with this Performing Edge Coach International program with becoming an affiliate. Now that you're part of this program, you can. I'll send you an email this week with a sign-up link if you're interested, and it's free, and it's a great way to make easy passive income by just putting a link on your website. Now that you've been part of this program and you know what the quality of what is delivered, and hopefully you would be happy to, if you'd like to recommend this to other people, you know, maybe you know other students who've been through programs who, you know, aren't getting the kind of training they need, or if you, you know of people or people just on, you know, that go to your website, or just, you can, if you don't have a website, you can just send out an email to other colleagues or friends who might be interested, then it's your unique link. What you do is you just will click on the link that I send you. It's a sign-up link, and then I'll send you. You're given a unique affiliate link, so that anyone who clicks on your link it'll be tracked directly back to you. And then I have another course coming up starting April 21st, so just in 4 weeks. When that starts, when they sign up for the course, then I pay you 30% of the course fee. So it's a great way to just by helping get the word out there to create our Performing Edge community and share the good word and be able to help other people to get this kind of information. And so I just want to invite you to become a partner with me in that program, and I'll send you a link for that if you're interested. So I think Sue's already doing that and other people, so it's great. Great way to just get the word out about this training. So let's get started with our training today. We've got, I want to talk to you first about, and then I'll give you a study guide afterward where you can review all the information about what we talked about today. So, get to my notes here. What I want to talk to you about today is how to create visualization, all the steps that I go through to actually create your visualization for your clients, the visualization process. So I've got 30 years experience working with almost every type of client and every type of challenge, and I've seen how powerful this visualization process is. So I want to teach you how you can do this. And so the first part is kind of the value and the benefits of Performing Edge coaching, that visualization process, so that you understand that, and then you can explain it to your clients as well. The first thing is, the reason we want to do visualization is because it's experiential. It really provides your client with a tangible experience. So most clients come in and they're expecting just to talk about their issues and their concerns, and talking is sort of a left brain activity, but it doesn't really create change often in people's behavior. But visualization is a right brain activity, and it really gets people into that right side of the thinking that is more comprehensive. It's the right brain is more creative and sees the big picture and is open to new information. So when you get people relaxed and into their right brain, into visualizing, then you can create real new insights, real transformation, real change. So it's an experience that clients get from you that they can't get from anyone else. And the second benefit is that it's a new learning mode. I think it allows them to have a new way of learning about themselves that they haven't been exposed to before. So, or perhaps they know about visualization and they say, oh yeah, it's a good idea to visualize, but they don't really know the steps of how to do it. So you're giving them those specific steps, which they really will appreciate from you. And the third benefit is, I think, relationship. It really quickly builds trust with you as their coach, because they realize that you can do something for them that no one else can do. Take them into this other world almost, as far as being using visualization to create change in their lives. So right away, I find within the first session, people are wanting to come back for a second session because we've built this powerful relationship through the visualization exercise. They've gone, it's kind of like, when you go on vacation with someone. I was just on vacation last week with my partner, my friend Bill, and my boyfriend Bill, and he was, we both were down at Santa Barbara, and we were just sitting on the shoreline, and we both saw these dolphins in the water, and all of a sudden we saw this one dolphin dive out of the water, huge dive, completely clearing the water by about 10 feet. And this wasn't at SeaWorld, this was just live. And we both saw that at the same time, and it created this incredible experience because we both experienced it together. And the same thing with your visualization for your clients is you can go through this experience, and when you are both experiencing the visualization together, it builds that relationship. The fourth area is positioning. This visualization process allows you to position yourself, elevates you to the position of an expert coach in this area. You're really doing something that is special, that sets you apart from other coaches. And the fifth thing that this does is transformation. I think it's a powerful process that is often life-changing for clients, even in the first session. I mean, it's just amazing what I've seen happen, where usually if a client is stuck, let's say baseball player, you know, is you know, stuck in a slump. You know, that all of a sudden the next week they're reporting that you know, they can do these amazing hits or pitches, that they could getting back to their old self again. Usually, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but I'd say 50 to 70% of the time I get those kinds of reports that they've made a transformational change just in that first session. So that's what makes us so powerful. And the sixth benefit is, of course, the MP3 audio file. It gives you something. You can give your client this physical product, a specific exercise that they can practice throughout their lifetime. So they have something they can take home with them. If you give them a CD, if they're in your office, I'll give them the physical CD. Or if they're doing this by phone, then I email them the MP3 file. So it gives them something that they can use not only for this next week, but actually for the rest of their lives. It's incredibly powerful. So that's the benefits of visualization, that process. Now, the timing, I want to talk to you about the next category here, is when should you do the first visualization exercise. I think often I do it in the first session, not always, but as long as the client is open and ready and seems like we've had a good conversation, then I'll go ahead and do the visualization in that first session. So you need to make sure you've built a rapport with them first. Rapport, and then the second thing is connection. Once you feel like you have this good connection with your client. And third, timing. I think at about the middle or three quarters of the way through the session is when I'll do a visualization, after I've talked with them, done an assessment, and gone through explaining what visualization is all about. Then I'll go ahead and do the visualization at the end, and then you want to leave a little bit of time at the end for debriefing and for them to talk about their experience. So don't do it right at the end, but leave time to have them go through and reflect on their experience, and then give them an assignment to do. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know, this week, speaking of assignments, you can go ahead and read Chapter 7 in the book, which is the next chapter there, and I'll send you some questions on that, which is on power words or positive self-talk. That'll be a great chapter for you to read this week. Now, the fourth area with timing is introduction. You want to do the visualization after you've discussed and described the process to your client. So, you know, right after that, not just jump right into it. And then also the fifth thing is after you've done the visualization pre-assessment, like most of you have done this week with your clients. You want to do that first, ask them about their peak experience or whatever it is you want to work on for it. You can do visualizations on so many topics and areas. If the client's coming in with a particular fear or issue that's coming up, or a competition, or let's say they're getting over an injury, then you can still, no matter what the issue is, I think it's always good to start with this particular type of peak experience visualization, because it gets them back to a positive place. And everyone has some kind of peak experience or some time when they felt really good about themselves. And that's a really good place to start, where it gets them out of the sort of negative mode that they may be in, whether that's the reason they're coming to you. And it gets them into this totally different mindset of feeling positive, feeling confident, feeling a sense of hope. So it's good to try to get that in the first session. And you'd only not do it in the first session if I have a few comments about that. If a client is, let's say, in a crisis, they're very upset, they're very emotional, and they've got a lot to talk about, and they just couldn't focus on it, then you can just save that for the second session. If a client is, like, say, highly anxious or fearful, then you might want to wait until the next session. If a client seems to be highly resistant or not trusting of you or of the process, then you want to take some time to build that trust first. And or if for some reason a client is angry about a situation, then that they might not be able to settle down enough to do a visualization that first time. So in those cases, it's best to just have the client talk through their process, their feelings during that session, and then do the visualization the next time around, or when they get to a point where they're more relaxed and comfortable with you and with the process. Now, the third area is formula. The third area I want to talk about is my formula for actual how I do the visualization process from start to finish. So the first thing is, this is sort of the meat of our discussion today, and I want to talk a little bit about first what I do to prepare you and prepare the client for this process. So what you want to do first is describe the visualization process to your client, and you know, just in simple terms. You don't have to do a lecture, of course, but just talk with them about how visualization is just a simple way of using your imagination to create what you want in your life. You can use a lot of the description that's in chapter 6 of the book that you read this week. So that would be good to just, you know, use. Some people think, well, is this hocus pocus? Is this hypnosis? Or is this some kind of magical process? And you want to sort of simplify it so that you say it's just a matter of relaxing, and that you might use the left brain analogy, that when we're most of the time during the day, we're using our left brain, which is that logical, analytical side that gets us through, you know, filing our taxes this time of year and doing checkbooks, and that's very useful. But it's also tends to be our inner critic, and that part that gets in the way, gets in the way of peak performances and second guesses us all the time. We're overanalyzing things. So visualization is a way to get into your right brain. You can tell them that part that is more creative and the part that allows you to it's the part that's wired up for new information. So if you can get into a relaxed state and then visualize, simply, you know, create a picture in your mind of something that you want to achieve, that's a great way to describe it to people. Then they can, you know, easily understand that it's something that they can, that something everyone can do. So you want to just simplify it. And then you want to answer their questions, you know, clear up any misconceptions. If they think they're asking, well, is this hypnosis or something like that? Usually I say, if they have some negative conceptions of hypnosis, I say that it's not, that it's different than hypnosis in that some people feel like with hypnosis they're losing control, and with visualization it's something that you control entirely yourself. So I just tell them that it's something that you can do easily, and it's just a matter of relaxing your mind and body, and then just being able to create pictures in your mind of what you want. So it's and that you are in control of your visualization yourself. And then I will, you know, ask them if they have any other questions, and then I'll also, I want to prepare the client, instruct them, especially if they're on the phone, you want to have the client focus on their visualization and avoid multitasking. So there's so many different ways that people can multitask these days, as you well know. There can be pagers going off, cell phone, people texting them, emails on the computer, Facebook, Twitter. And you have no idea when you're talking with someone on the phone if they're trying to do five different things at once, and which makes it very difficult to focus on visualization. So you want to instruct them specifically to turn off their computer, or turn off the computer screen. You know, turn off their any other distractions so that they can really focus on the visualization with you. So once you do that, if they're in the office with you, of course, then it's much easier. You know what they're doing. And then you can ask them to also if they have a headset, that's even better, so they can sit back in the chair and relax and don't have to hold the phone up physically with their hand. So also what I'll do is during the pre-visualization, that assessment that you just did with the client, when they're talking with me on the phone, I'll be typing in. It's always better, I think, if you actually give them those questions verbally rather than have them fill out a form, because you'll get a lot more information, and then you can ask them follow-up questions as well. So oftentimes the client will give me positive images and negative thoughts at the same time, you know, because that's what happens in life. You know, well, this happened, and then something else happened that wasn't so good, and they'll mix in, you know, the positive stuff with the negative stuff. So what I'll do is I want to get everything down on paper that they're saying, but I don't want to include the negative content in the visualization. So I'll just put parentheses. Whenever they say something that's negative, then like TJ, I know with the visualization you presented with Tom, you talked about body pain that he had. So if that would happen, I would put in parentheses around the negative content as I'm typing, so I'll know not to use that part in the visualization. Because if you do use the negative part, then, you know, the right brain tends to take in everything literally, and the right brain will, you know, tend to amplify that negative stuff in your brain. So you want to just be able to and not only use the positive stuff. Or if they give you something negative, you want to be able to turn it around into a positive statement of some sort. So that's just a good idea. For instance, here with TJ, I'll just use you as an example here with Tom. Let's see, you were saying that, the Newport, Oregon Marathon, and you were saying, I'm there with my wife, who has been very supportive of me. I had trained like a madman, really pushed myself, although it wasn't satisfying at the time. I was constantly disappointed in my training times. So during that part, I would put that in parentheses, because it's... that's something you want to know about, but not included in the visualization. And then I always put the entire process into the present tense. So, of course, they're telling it to you in the past tense. But, for instance, I would say, if I was doing a visualization for Tom, I would say, it's the New York, it's the morning of the New York Oregon Marathon. And I've trained really hard. And I'm there with my wife, who's very supportive. She is giving me good encouragement right now. I know I've trained really hard. I've pushed myself. I'm disciplined, and I've done the workouts I need to do. The day we previewed the course, it's very helpful. I know what to expect. The night before, we're relaxing in the evening, having some pasta. I'm very relaxed. I'm doing my normal night stuff. And I know I'm a little anxious. It's a good anxiousness, a good nervousness, which always happens before a race when I have a definite goal. This anxiety is a motivator for me. I'm focused on the goal, qualifying for Boston. It's a mixture of being anxious and being determined, which gives me energy. I'm feeling confident. That confidence and determination is helping me overcome any rough patches in the race. So you see, I was just giving a little example there, TJ, of how I would, that gives you a lot of examples, actually, of, how I'm putting it in the present tense. I'm slowing down my voice. I'm, allowing a little bit of time. I'm reading what the information I have here, but it's almost as if I'm saying a phrase and then I'm going dot, 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 phrase, dot, dot, dot. So I'm making sure that I pause in between each phrase. So you give the person, the right brain, a chance to take it all in. And it's just much more effective that way than if you're just reading something very quickly. So just very slow and relaxed. It gives you a chance to do a visualization too. You know, one of the things, that's my favorite part of doing a session with a client, is actually doing the visualization for them. Because it's such a special experience, and it gives you a chance to relax and really get in. It's like you're both taking a journey somewhere. So it's just a very exciting process. Now, I wanted to go into a few other things about what to do with preparation for the visualization. First, with you when you're working with your clients. First, you want to, for orienting the client, go over the steps for imagery, which, you know, with the client in the book, in your Performing Edge Chapter 6, which is on page 71. So it would be good to, you know, just go over those steps there, the, you know, how you want to be in the present tense, and how you want to do breathing and centering, and then imaging, creating your image, and then sensing, bringing all five senses into the experience, anchoring, you know, only looking at the positive models, that sort of thing. So go through all of that a little bit with them, just the steps, and that will give them an idea of what you're going to be doing with the visualization. That can be helpful for a client, just so they know what they'll be going through, and it kind of demystifies the experience. And then I would say to them, you know, answer their questions and put your client at ease. I'd say you are in control of your imagery. You can imagine whatever you like. And then I would say, you know, the substitution is fine too. I'd say to the client, you can use any images that are helpful for you. And if I say something in the visualization that doesn't fit for you, then you can just substitute your own imagery. That's fine. Anything that you, that's right for you, it is what you need to do. So that gives them the flexibility to be able to create their own images, no matter what I say. And then, of course, at the very end of the imagery, I'll always ask them, did I say anything that was incorrect or anything you'd like me to do differently next time? So they can help me to customize the visualization for them. And then I'll also give them a signal. This is helpful too, to give your client a signal to stop if necessary. Like, who knows, let's say you're on the phone with them and, you know, somebody comes to the door, delivery man, and they have to leave for a moment. You know, let them know if we need to stop for some reason, or if at any time you feel uncomfortable, just give me your signal. Or you can speak up and just let me know we need to stop for a moment, and tell them that's okay for them to say that. If they're in the office, I'll just do like I'll tell them lift a finger for me to let me know that you want to stop. Like for instance, a client, you might get into something and it may remind a client of a traumatic experience or something they it's scary for them. That they don't, a place they don't want to go to, and they just feel a need to stop. And it's rarely happened. I think in my 20, 30 years of doing this, maybe it's only happened once or twice that somebody needs to stop. And so I used to work at an inpatient hospital situation, and so where women had been traumatized, so sometimes they might have a little difficulty getting into a visualization. But most of the time, I think you'll find that people are just fine with what you're doing. But it's good to give them a signal that you can stop if you need to, and that helps them to feel comfortable. And if there is any interruptions, let's say, I don't know, a client has a child in the background they need to attend to all of a sudden, then you want to say that it's okay to tell you to stop. So that's information on the preparation for the visualization. And then I wanted to go into how to begin your visualization, some information for you as the coach, and how to do the visualization. So the first thing is the mindset. I think you want to imagine that you are taking a journey along with your client into their world. So it's really important to not just be reading words or to, you know, think to have them going through this experience, but you know, you're not just commenting, but you want to picture yourself being right there and experiencing all the sensations, all the feelings, all the excitement, the same, and having the same achievement that your client is having. And I can't emphasize this enough, how important this is. It's like you, the more that you can get into the experience along with them, then the better your visualization exercise will be, and the better your MP3 recording will be for your client to use for the rest of your life, for the rest of their life. So, you know, because this is something, you know, you're making for them that is such an incredible gift. I mean, I've had clients come back to me 5 years later and say, wow, Dr. Joanne, I've been using the visualization you made for me, that MP3 file, the custom peak performance exercise, is something I've been using for 5 years, and even now they'll say it created a new peak experience for me, you know, 5 or 10 years later. So you'll find that your clients are using this kind of tool that you're creating for them many years later and throughout their lifetime. So if you get into the experience yourself, just imagine you're there, and that's why you want to learn as much as you can ahead of time in the pre-visualization assessment. If there's something you don't understand or something you want them to elaborate on, then go ahead and ask them as many questions as you can to go deep into their peak experience so you understand it. You can use their language, the way they see it, the way they understand it. Makes it just a much more powerful experience for them. So now that the mindset is the first thing I wanted to give you, and then pacing is the second area where I want you to when you're doing your visualization, you want your voice, just as I was demonstrating with TJ's client there, assessment with Tom, you want to have a nice slow pace, a relaxed tone, and allow space between each phrase so that, you know, the right brain can take in all the information. And so it's just, it also allows for creating more relaxation and, you know, getting the client into a deeper state when you do that slower pace. And you want to vary your pitch so it's not just a monotone, but it's more of a natural conversational style. So it's like, imagine like you're telling a story. You know, like you'd read a story to a child where your voice would be animated and going up and down and imagining yourself there. And if you're on the phone with someone, I know you might think it's difficult to do this when you can't actually see the person, but if you could imagine, you know, put a picture out in front of you almost of your client, or you can put a picture on your screen of the client so you're actually talking to them, then that can help. So it's like you're really, you know, connecting with this person through your voice, through the visualization. So yeah, you want to make it nice and slow and just really getting into the experience. And the next thing I want to talk about is tense. You want to speak in the present tense. So even though the client's experience is in the past, as I was mentioning before, you want to relay it as though it's happening right now. So whenever you see the, you know, something written out, I was feeling good, you want to change that to I am feeling good. And you can use your own words, your own phrases to enhance those that experience as well. So just to always speak in the present tense, just bring it right here, right now, because that makes it much more powerful for the client. And then in terms of content for your visualization, your content can include all kinds of things, actually. The main content would be, of course, reading your client's notes or referring to your client's notes from your visualization pre-assessment, like you've all done. And then a second would be, you know, you can add your own commentary. You can add your own phrases to enhance the experience. So other words that you want to add in to make it even more powerful. And then another thing, you can include phrases from the Your Performing Edge book, Chapter 2, on page 30. That's a powerful list of, on page 30 I list there in the book, athletic expressions for the optimal experience. So that's in Chapter 2. On page 30, there's, you know, a series of phrases there that are really powerful that I've written down. These are phrases that I've gathered from my interviews and work with clients all over the world in a variety of different sports, and they talk about the performing edge experience and being in the zone. So for instance, I would say to them, I could relay some of these phrases during the visualization. I would say, you know, you are strong and powerful. You're physically relaxed and mentally focused. You are calm and at peace. You're feeling light and fluid. You're optimistic and positive. You are tuned in to the moment right now. You have that acute awareness of everything going on within you and around you. You're feeling natural and spontaneous. This is so much fun and enjoyable. You are embracing the task at hand. You are energized. You have absolute composure. You are fully alive. Your body is on automatic pilot with effortless speed. You are feeling invincible right now. You have total self-confidence. You are floating with ease. You are completely engaged with what you're doing, in perfect control, and you have an ideal sense of well-being. You are in the zone, and everything falls into place for you now. So those are some examples of phrases that I might use during a visualization. And you notice how I emphasize the word you throughout reading those phrases. And I think that's really a great technique to bring the client into the experience. And then you can use their name as well during that time so that they are, you know, they really feel like you are talking to them. So then I'd go through the steps to taking your client through the visualization. You know, you have them doing their relaxation and breathing. And nice, easy breathing. And then I would have them focus on your center, you know, breathing in through your... First, breathing in through the abdomen. This is, you want to take an appropriate amount of time with this step, and it's dependent on their age group, the client's age group too, their energy level that day, and also their level of trust with you. So, for instance, with younger clients that are in high school or junior high, they're going to be a higher energy level generally and more with less patience, and so... and more, you know, just wanting to, let's get to it kind of thing. A lot of times they'll request, let's just do a visualization for 5 minutes. And so I'll do one that's just much shorter, and I don't take too long to do the breathing and centering part, but get right into the visualization, because they're, you know, have just a whole different energy level than adults do. Now, with adults, I'll take maybe, you know, a few... one, between 2 and 5 minutes to do the breathing and centering part, because it might they prefer more time to get relaxed and to get focused, and they have more patience as far as being able to do this process first. With the high school kids, usually the first time, yeah, I want to get right into, you know, the visualization, and then they understand the process, they understand how powerful this is. After that, I can, the next visualization, I can take more time to have them breathe slowly and deeply and get into a relaxed mode. So we've got relaxing and breathing. You want to have them take 5 deep abdominal breaths, and I'll actually demonstrate to them putting my hand on the abdomen a couple inches below the belly button. Some people don't, some people are really into deep breathing. Maybe they've taken yoga, so they understand how to do the breathing process. Other people don't. They don't have any experience with this, so you want to make sure they understand it and put your hand a couple inches below your belly button, and then I'll say, see how I breathe into my hand and my stomach is coming out. If they're in the office there, I can actually demonstrate to them. My stomach is coming out further. I breathe in, and then as I breathe out, the stomach comes back down. And so you want to tell them it's not just through the chest at the top. I'll explain to them that when we're anxious and nervous, usually most of our breathing is through the chest. We're kind of doing these short, shallow breaths. And demonstrate that it's only through the chest. And the problem is that, we're only getting in half as much air as we need. And that's what happens like right before a race when people are standing at the starting line, or any competition before a soccer game or a squash game, or a hockey game. Nicole, I know you're working with hockey players. And so they're breathing really fast and short through the chest. But what that does, you're not getting enough oxygen to the brain, only half as much, and half as much oxygen in your body. So you're not thinking as clearly. So if you can do those 5 deep abdominal breaths through your abdomen, and imagine the air going all the way down through your chest to the abdomen, then that's going to get them a lot more relaxed so they can focus on your visualization. And you as the coach should do the breathing abdominally along with the client. So if you can do it and demonstrate for them, even if it's on the phone, they can hear your breathing. Do it into your microphone so they can hear that you're breathing deeply. Then that helps you sort of pace them and model for them what you want them to be doing. So then I'll have them breathe slowly and deeply, and then sometimes I'll have them do the centering, the next step, actually breathing in through your nose, focusing in your center, a couple inches behind your belly button, and then breathing out through your mouth and relax, and just letting go of unwanted energy and thoughts and images. So that can help as well to take a few centering breaths like that, where you're focusing on the breathing in through your nose, focusing on your center, so you're really centering your body. And then I'll say, as you breathe out all the tension out through your fingertips and toes. Imagine there's tiny valves or openings at the ends of your fingertips and toes, and all the unwanted thoughts, unwanted energy and images are going out through that, your fingertips and toes. So that lets them know they always have a way of processing and letting go of the things that they don't want. It's a very comforting kind of feeling. And then you've got, then the next step is, of course, doing the imaging of the experience, going through the client's experience, and you want to speak in the present tense, as we were talking about, and go through their entire experience, what happened before and during and after their peak experience. You can refer to the visualization pre-assessment that you did, and just take out the key phrases that they have been using throughout that experience. So, for instance, I'll just go through a couple other steps, and then I want to give you an example of that. Sensing. Then the next step is sensing, bringing in all 5 senses into the experience. So you want to give examples of each of the senses. So saying, for your visual sense, imagine who's there, imagine what you're wearing, imagine the color of the sky if you're outside. And then bring in your auditory sense. Hear the sounds of the people around you. Hear your breathing. And kinesthetic sense. Can you feel the wind on your face and the power in your legs and your arms? So give some examples so they know what to imagine. And then they can fill in the blanks and create their own experience from that. Those are the 3 most powerful is visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And then you can bring in smell and taste as well, if you like, because smell is very powerful in terms of bringing back memories. And then anchoring is a great thing. Once you get into that experience, after they are toward the end of the visualization, you want them to ask them to create a color, a shape, or a word, or a physical gesture. Works really well. Something to remember that experience by. So if they can remember something in that experience, maybe it was a red rose somebody was carrying. Maybe it was in a marathon, maybe it was the end of the finish line, what that looked like, or their time on the clock. If it was a gesture, maybe it's putting both hands up into the air, or the okay sign, or the clapping their hands. Physical gestures is the most powerful if you can get them to remember something that they did at the time they were having that peak experience. That would be great. If they can't remember anything, then they can create something in their mind that they associate with that experience afterward. So have them create an anchor, and then you always want to remember, have them remember that, and then ask them at the end, what was your anchor, so you can write it down, so you can refer to it in this and other visualizations and use it in the future. And then when you finish, depending on the situation, I'll have them come back in the room, say, slowly walk up, imagine walking up a set of stairs from 1 to 5, feeling refreshed and recharged, alert and awake. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back into the room. And so I'll, depending on what the client's choice is, I can put that on the tape, or sometimes I'll stop the recording and I won't record that part so that they can use this visualization to go to sleep at night too, and then they don't have to have the coming back into the room part. They just drift off into sleep, so that can work really well. So those are some examples of how to take the client through the visualization process. And I know Christo from South Africa wrote in. I want to use his pre-visualization. His assessment as an example. He's actually working with the number one squash player who's under 17 in South Africa. His first name is Ruan, and he gave me sent in his visualization, the pre-assessment here. So I want to give an example of how I would take this and create a visualization from it. So, of course, he's writing it in the, it was the semifinals of the Free State Open Squash Tournament. And, very exciting. So this is like an elite athlete, number one squash player in South Africa, who's under 17 category. So, you don't necessarily have to understand all the technical terms even of the client is giving you. Sometimes if it's a sport, let's say a very technical sport like diving or shooting, there might be all kinds of things that they know and technical terms that they are using that you might not understand, but it's important to write them down and just use them in your visualization because they have a lot of meaning to the client. And make sure that you get the terms as correct as possible so that they are meaningful to the client. So, for instance, with Christo's client, Ruan, I would say he's got his examples here, and I would his answers were rather short in the on the assessment. So, Christo, for just a little bit of feedback for you, I would say, like, during the actual, the middle of the experience, that's, in the assessment, when you're talking about that and asking the client about the middle of experience, when things were really happening, there isn't too much information here on the assessment. So, you'd want to try to get more information about what actually happened during the game, what happened next during the middle. He said, I just played. which is great. A lot of times, athletes don't even remember what happened. They're so in the zone. They just played, and that's it. But if you can get more information from him about, like, tell me about one particular set or one particular play, you know, what was the other guy doing? What were you doing? What was your best hit? Tell me the play-by-play. That's a good sentence to use, the play-by-play, the blow-by-blow. Exactly the slow motion. Bring it into slow motion for me so that you, I can understand, you know, one, like just one little section, one piece of your playing. And that way you get more of their words, more the way that they described it, so that you can use that. You know, like the way, tell me the way the racket felt when you're hitting the ball, or the paddle felt when you're hitting the ball. Tell me the way you're moving around the court. What was your best moment in that session? So questions like that are very powerful to really get, just kind of keep digging deeper in to get as much information as you can about the middle of the experience, when it actually happened, you know, the parts that you remember the most. So for Krista's assessment here, let me give you an example of what I would do. So I'm reading some of what Christo's writing here. So I would say, it's the semifinal in the Free State Open Squash Tournament, and I'm at Saints Court 1. I'm there, my opponent and my spectators. Of course, first I would do the breathing. Take a few deep breaths in, breaths out. I would set the scene. But I'll just jump right in here to the actual visualization. So all shots, I'm saying to the client during the visualization, all shots are up. I'm feeling good. I'm moving well. My drives are deep. My opponent is working his butt off. I'm warmed up, changed shirts, I'm using long pants during the warm-up, I listen to my music from my own playlist half hour before I go onto the court. I'm sitting down for a couple minutes to think about what my shots will look like. I'm fit, I'm warmed up properly, I'm sweating as I go onto the court. And I know I'm sharp and quick from the start. And I'm just playing. During the game, the nervousness is gone. I can just play, focusing on what I need to do. Feeling very good. I'm playing at the top of my game. The crowd, I can hear the crowd cheering for me. The racket is feeling perfect in my hand. My body feels great. It's fresh and fast. I feel strong all the way through the game. My legs are strong. My arms are strong. My shots are accurate. I feel a bit nervous. I feel the adrenaline. And then after a few points, I'm okay. I just play, do what I know I need to do. I'm happy with my performance, feeling positive. I'm thinking how my shots should be. I'm focused on the moment. My body is relaxed. My mind is focused. I know what I need to do. I'm totally there. Whenever I hit a bad shot, I just say, oh, come on. Tell myself, just relax. Get right back into the game. I'm happy, satisfied. I'm always thinking about energy kicking in, more and more energy kicking in throughout the game. Feels so good. My legs are sore. I'm able to push through right to the end. And then I would finish by saying, see myself on the getting my award, the audience cheering, saying my name. They're announcing my achievements. I'm smiling and feeling good inside, and using my anchor, my success anchor, bringing that into the experience, keeping that there the entire time. And now, Ruan, all these things that you've experienced here, they'll begin to translate into real, positive, tangible changes in your own life. You can continue to use this energy moving forward in every one of your plays, your practices, your games, and your life. So that gives you an example. That's how I would finish the visualization. That gives you an example of what I would do with Visto. I didn't have a lot of information about what actually went on in the middle of the game because he didn't write down that part, and Christo, perhaps in a second assessment, or you might ask him before you do the visualization, ask him, tell me about one of your best shots or one of your best, the nitty-gritty of the game, just one little section, one of your best points. What, you know, so you went out there, and who had the ball first, and, you know, just kind of really get into the details of it so you can get more of his language, and then you can include that in the visualization as well. But it gives you an example. I should have said at the beginning, start with his name. I always say, Ruan, relax, take in a few deep breaths. And then use his name throughout the visualization a couple times, and then at the end too. So you really personalize it for him and use as much of his words as you can. So that gives you kind of an idea of what I would do in that situation. Let me just, at this point, just open the lines up to see if you have any questions. I'll just open up the lines here. Do you guys? So now I've got your lines open. Any comments or questions about what we've been talking about here? I know several people are.
Hi, Joanne. Can you hear me? It's Krista speaking.
Oh, hi. How are you? Good. It's great to have you on the line from, everyone, Christo's here from South Africa. I couldn't see, you on the panel here, but now I do. Could you hear what I just said about your client? All of a sudden, I can't hear you. I could hear you a moment ago. Shoot. Somehow, I could hear him for a second there. Christo's calling in from South Africa, and sometimes there might be a problem with the phone line or with the internet connection if he's calling on Skype. If you can try to call in, or Christo, if you can you hear me now? I can, maybe you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Is TJ or Nicole, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, is that TJ? Is that TJ?
No, it's Nicole.
And Nicole, hi, how are you? Yeah, I was just trying to get in touch with. Shoot, that's too bad. I couldn't get back with Christo. He's probably having trouble calling in from South Africa. Nicole, do you have any comments about that, or what like with your coaches you want to work with, or athletes? What kinds of visualizations would you want to do?
Well, I guess my question is more in general because I personally have a little trouble with visualization for myself.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely something that I have to practice, and I wonder, I wonder if I don't feel comfortable myself, you know, is that going to impact me trying to do a visualization exercise with a client?
Yeah.
Especially the pulling in of the senses. Like, I guess I don't do a good job of observing smells and things like that. for myself, so that's something I have to work on for myself. So, you know, how do I, is that something that I should work on first before I attempt to do visualization exercises, or is it something that I can still do with a client as I work on it myself?
Both, I think, yeah. You said you have trouble observing, I didn't get that next word, observing what?
Like smell.
Smells,
you know,
yeah.
As far as bringing in the five senses, you know, it's easy to have the visual image, but not so much the other senses. I guess I just haven't paid enough attention, and that's something I have to do better for myself.
Right, yeah. I think it's... that's a really good point, and I think all of us need to work on that. The more that you can become comfortable with the visualization process yourself, then the better you can use it with your clients, too. So, you know, use this week to try to, for instance, go with the sense that you feel most comfortable with. Like, some people are more visual, some are more auditory, some are more kinesthetic. I don't know, do you have a sense that works best for you? How do you learn the best?
Yeah, probably more visual and, kinesthetic, probably.
Yeah, so this week...
You know, I learned very well through, doing as well as visual stuff, so I think it's just probably more the sense of smell and the sense of the auditory sense that I feel I don't pay enough attention to in my own experiences to bring them into a visualization exercise for myself.
Yeah, just do a simple sensory exercise for yourself, like, you know, look up at the color of the sky and then, you know, and observe what kind of blue is it, or if it's gray, whatever it is, or the color of a tree, green, and then close your eyes and then see if you can visualize that same color in your, you know, with your eyes closed. And then if you can't, then open your eyes again and observe, you know, just look more. Say look at a tree out your door and see how much detail you can observe about it. You know, what kind of leaves does it have? What kind of, is it moving? Is there wind? All those things. See how much you can remember. And then close your eyes and then see if you can visualize that. Create that movie in your mind of what you just saw.
Right.
Yeah, same thing with an athlete or something. You know, you can even go to YouTube and, you know, you're into hockey, right, did you say?
That's right,
your main
yeah.
Sport. So, you know, look up hockey on YouTube and watch somebody playing hockey for a few moments, and then close your eyes and see if you can almost replay that in your mind of what you just saw.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good way to, you know, kind of tune up that visualization process. And do the same thing with feel, like close your eyes and feel something, you know, feel a towel in your living, you know, in your kitchen or something, you know, and with your eyes closed, just like a blind person, their you know, kinesthetic sense of touch is so much more powerful. So, see how much you can observe about that towel, you know, does it have ripples in it? Is it terry cloth? Is it, what's its temperature? All those things. And, see what you can notice with your eyes closed, just feeling something, and then go around and feel something else. You know, your keyboard or your you know, piece of clothing, and see how much you can observe about it with your eyes closed. That's a great way to heighten your sense there, your sense, kinesthetic sense. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So do that, and then see. Yeah. I think I noticed. Is Krista back on the line? Oh, shoot. He was there for a moment. I think he's trying to call.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Good. Yeah, could you hear me while I was doing your talking about your client, Ruan? Shoot, I heard him.
I have a really bad line. I get cut off all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like I can hear you for a couple of words and then not. Do you have... do you have a question, or could you hear what I was saying about your...
Hello, Joanne?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Do you have a... I was just wondering if you had reactions about what I was saying with your squash client? Gosh, I think he's having trouble with his line. Because it comes in and out so much. So, I think we'll have to... Krista, you can also, why don't you type in, you can email me a question if you have a question, since I, the line seems to be coming in and out a lot. But I was just doing your, working with the visualization with your client, Ruan, the squash client. So this will be on the recording, too, that you can listen to afterward, and then we can communicate by email as well. It's hard in South Africa. It's such a long ways away. It's amazing we can talk at all from this far away. So, but Nicole, you can go ahead and, try that out. Just, with the senses, I think that's a great experiment to do. And then if you have a practice client, then you can have them do the same thing, just a kind of a sensory practice session. I think that would be good. Yeah, that would be good for everyone to do. The same thing with... listening, just go outside on a street corner and close your eyes and then observe all the sounds that you hear, and be able to notice, do you hear birds, do you hear cars, do you hear people, and then just notice how many different sounds you hear, and then be able to replay that in your mind, and that can be a great way to create that replay experience. For you. And like you say, I think it's a great point that you brought up. The more that you can practice this, the more that you'll be able to feel, comfortable doing it with your clients. And it's so powerful. It's worth it. Are you, Nicole, are you doing any work now with, are you doing any sports yourself? Fitness stuff?
No, not really. Not right now.
Yeah. So, but if you want to, even just walking outside or something, as you're walking,
right,
just observe, everything about a simple action like walking. Just, how do your feet touch the ground? Does your heel hit first? Does your toe hit first? How are your arms? Are your shoulders relaxed? All that kind of thing. Just do a body check all the way from your head down to your feet. And go through and just ask yourself, okay, how's my head? How's my thoughts? How's my neck? How's my shoulders? And is my body straight up and down? Is it forward? Is it back? How's my core feeling? Does it feel strong or does it feel to the left or the right? Are my legs, do my legs feel tired or feet? All of that, go through the whole body, and that'll help you to become more aware of that kinesthetic sense as well. So, great. Okay. That'll give you a good exercise to do, and then you can, just... let me send a few questions out to everyone for that, since that's a good question. It's a good exercise you can do for yourself and to have your practice clients do, too. Yeah, that sounds great. And did you get a chance to work with your client this week, do the assessment? Nicole?
I talked with my brother.
Oh, great. Okay.
I've got handwritten notes, thank goodness. So, but
With your computer. Get it back, or you can just type in kind of a few things that you remember. Yeah. So great. Okay. Well, good. So let's continue on with our what I was going to present here, and we talked about the process of preparing the client and preparing yourself for doing the visualization, and then during the visualization you want to use the I think next time maybe I'll go into more detail with Audacity and the software about how to use that. So this week you can practice doing the visualization. If you can do a use Audacity, that would be great. If not, we'll talk about that more next week too. Just want to ask Nicole, are you there? Did you get a chance to try the Audacity program before your computer died?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well that's all right. I'll send you more information about it this week. So no problem, because I realized you got working with your computer and all. Yeah. Okay. So. I'll talk a little bit about the that's the process of going through the visualization, and then afterward, after you finish the visualization, then you want to refer to there's a post-assessment form that I'll send you that'll be up in the members area this week for a full list of questions that you want to ask. Some of them are, you know, just things like you want to take a little bit of time to ask for the client's feedback about this visualization exercise that you just went through with them. So ask them, how do you feel? And tell me about your experience, what you experienced there. And then, you know, what actions will you take this week to be able to carry out what you the kinds of things that you were you experienced. And then you always want to ask them about their anchor. What was your anchor that you came up with? And a lot, most people will come up with something that they remember about the experience. So the anchor is, you know, it's just something that they can associate, a color, a word, a shape, or a physical gesture that they can associate with that peak experience. And so you want to write down the client's exact description of their anchor. You know, it might have been a rose or something. Okay, ask them what color was the rose. It might be a, you know, what the finish line looked like. Or it might be putting their hands in the air. It might be a fist pump. Just write that down so that you can, that can be a powerful tool that you can use. So let's say they have another competition coming up, and they can use that anchor right beforehand to feel that same sense of confidence and power and inner strength. And the more they use the anchor, the more they'll be able to associate that anchor, that physical gesture, with success. It's a very powerful way of creating those feelings right away. I've done it with many of my Olympians I've worked with and clients, and it works well. You know, I had a baseball player that, as a pitcher, that would get, sometimes would be inconsistent with his pitches. And each time he had a bad pitch, he would go back to the pitcher's mound and take a rock and just a small stone and throw it backwards on the mound. And that was his symbol of saying, okay, that pitch is behind me now. That's over. Now let's move on to the next pitch. That was his way of getting rid of that energy, that bad energy, or the mistake that he didn't want to remember, to go over. So that's an example of one, what's kind of like an anchor of, or a symbol of something you would do to get rid of unwanted energy. And in the same way, you can have another anchor to create the kind of energy that you want. So just wanted to give you that example. Then after you, oh, then you want to ask them at the end, is there anything I said that you'd like to change for next time? Sometimes they might say, oh, you said this incorrectly, or it's actually this move, not that move. So you want to be able to make notes so you get it just the way that they see it for the next visualization. And then you'll make the custom, the MP3, as you're doing the visualization, you know, on the phone, you'll be recording this. Using those instructions with Audacity that I sent you. We'll go over that more in detail next time, next Thursday. And then email the clients. So you want to email the client their custom MP3 file, the audio file, right afterward. I try to get it to them 5 or 10 minutes after the session, because sometimes they've got a competition coming right up or they want to be able to use it right away. And it just creates this trust, incredible trust and respect for you as a coach when you get them their, you know, people want instant access these days for everything. And so if you get them the MP3 file and your notes from the session right afterward, then they're just very impressed with you as a coach, and they feel like they're really getting something from the session that they can use right away and throughout the next week. So you email them the custom MP3, and then you email them their client instructions on how to use this MP3 file. And I'll send you this. This will be in the members area there, too. And that's I've written out 9 ways that your clients can use this audio coaching MP3 file. If things like you want to play you can tell them play the MP3 file right now on your computer. you know, maybe it takes 5 or 10 minutes. They can, so they can play it on their computer, or they can download it to your iPod or iPhone or any portable media player. You know, it just takes 30 seconds. It's very simple to do. Most people know how to do that, or if not, you can send instructions, or I can send you instructions on how to do that. And then another thing, you can download it to an audio CD. I mean, download it into your computer, and then you can make, just put it on an audio CD for your CD player. Some people like to do that. If they don't have an MP3 player, some older people who are like in the 50s or 60s aren't into iPods yet, and so they might want to they're more comfortable with a CD, a physical CD they can play. And then you can listen to, what you want to do is listen to the audio right before you go to sleep at night. That's the best time, so that your subconscious mind can be listening to it. And then you want to also listen to it when you first wake up in the morning. That's a great time to get yourself in a right a state of mind. You can play it in your car before you're driving. The client can play it in their car before they're driving to the training or practice of their event. And they can play it 5 minutes just before beginning their training. So that's a great time. One of the absolute best times to use this MP3, so it gets them in the right state of mind right before they are ready to work out or to do their competition. And then you can even play it while you're training or working out. If you have an iPod, if you're doing a sport, you know, like running or biking or swimming, I've had clients actually play it during a competition. You know, while they're actually in a race, in an Ironman or a triathlon, where it's allowed. Some sports it's not allowed to use iPods actually during a race. Others it is, so you can use that. That's very powerful to be able to have their voice. And that way they begin to rely on you and your voice while they're competing and training. So they want more of you and more of what you can provide for them while they are training and competing. Your voice becomes a signal, a trigger for them for relaxation and for confidence, for handling pressure, for dealing with all the negative stuff out there. Your voice becomes a real positive force in their lives, and they get conditioned to that, so that's great. It sort of builds in you as a significant part of their training. So that's the MP3 file and how to use it. And the questions afterward are, there's a post questionnaire that I will send you, post visualization questionnaire, and that's very powerful in terms of questions afterward. You want to ask them about their response and what they plan to do with this afterward, because you'll get some really powerful insights from people. Just a couple of quick comments as well. The client's reactions afterward might vary from, most of the time I think it's very transforming and people have this wow experience, like, wow, this is really changing the way I'm looking at my sport. This is an amazing experience. And you get clients that say, wow, this is great. Can we do more of these MP3s for my other problem areas? And then sometimes occasionally you'll get someone that has difficulty with imaging. Like Nicole, you were talking about, might not feel comfortable with it or don't, you might have a client that says, I don't see anything. And so they think that visualizing is the only modality, but actually, you know, they can use all five modalities. They might be better at the kinesthetic sense, or they might be better at auditory. So you want to work with them with the sense that they have the best, or have them do a simple exercise like I was just doing with Nicole earlier, with imagining something simple, closing your eyes or looking at something and then closing your eyes and seeing if you can see it. And trying out each sense one at a time. So the more that you can work on this and get comfortable with your visualization, the better you'll be for doing this. I think let me try one more time to see if if Christo's on the line. Let me open up the lines here. Christo, are you there? Can you hear me? I think he's on the line, but I can't hear his voice. So I guess probably having trouble.
Bad connection.
Oh, now I can hear for 2 seconds I can hear your voice.
Jen, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you. Can you try one more time?
Yeah, it's a very bad connection. I hear you on and off.
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. It's a very bad connection. I just catch you and then you're gone. And I'm trying to get feedback. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that part.